Hey, I rolled a 20. I won the game.
Hello, everyone. We're at it once again. Welcome to our second edition playtest of Pathfinder Society adventure, Arklord's Envy. We're not doing Doomsday Dawn like everyone else. We're doing something a little different. We tried doing a sort of live living room show and botched the audio a bit. If you are listening to this, you have suffered through 5 episodes of not the best quality. But we would like to continue our story, give some of our other cast a chance to play some second edition, rotate some characters in and out at this dinner that's coming up, and play to the bitter end and solve the murder. So, going around the table, picking up where we left off. Matt.
Yes.
Tell us, remind us, who you're playing tonight.
I am playing Mariseal, the elf rogue.
Yeah, one of the iconic pregens.
Yep. Straight out the book, man. Straight out the book. Yep.
Okay. And rejoining us and from the last episode, we also have Ryan Messina.
Hey, everyone.
And who are you playing tonight, Ryan?
I'm playing Aros, the paladin of Iomede.
And you actually put this character together yourself?
Yes. A lot of slapping, a lot of tickling, but no fun because that's sinful.
Joe and Ashley couldn't join us tonight. However, they do, let's say you guys were, when we left our heroes, you guys were examining the body, taking items, looking for magical items, talking about some of the recent discoveries back at the crime scene, like the packet with the materials with a shop owner's personal seal on it. We have a dinner to go to report. Talking to our venture captain once again, and physical evidence on the body, trying to figure out who was trying to kill this poor Shapti, who had already escaped an ill fate once, because as we know, the Shapti race are sort of a golem-like golden creature that is put together by some Osirian schmuck trying to escape his bad pharaoh fate, shearing off a tiny bit of his soul, stuffing it in this poor creature, activating it, and hopefully this thing will live out hell on Earth or the underworld in Bob's place. And sometimes they break free and try to have their own life. Well, this one came down an X, was rather clever, wheeling and dealing, but kind of a douche. Made as many friends as enemies, as we learned in the previous episodes, and somebody killed him over a valuable book that was written by Nex himself. The contents of said book, apparently, supposedly, is currently with our venture captain, and she is going through it. Discernible claw marks on the golem and on the body were found. Everyone had a go, except for our paladins. So, Ryan, does Monsieur Aros have anything else to say? Any examining, any magical, arcane, or other skills you would like to wish upon the body or the others?
Look around the room.
Or we're outside the city. We just chased down a golem and peeled a body, remember?
Oh, right. Yeah. I got smashed by that Quantinium golem.
Yes.
Like a boss.
A crap ton of non-lethal damage as it swatted you out of the way. 2 giant golems, one crimson, one green, colossal in size, slowly, endlessly, and forevermore circling the city. And we found the body kind of like gum under a shoe. But because it is a Shapti, it was remarkably intact. Our goblin and the sorceress are discussing the items that the goblin has been purfling. Oh, this ring is magical, this type of thing, back and forth. Our rogue was talking about the seal that was on parchment that you guys found back at the crime scene that seemed to be evidence because they were talking about things that the mage wanted to order. And then there was the letter that you guys found on the body itself. Do we remember the letter?
I'm going to voluntarily say no for the group.
I believe it was your character that snatched it off the goblin and was reading through it.
Wasn't it because the goblin can't read?
No, I just, everyone assumes he's an idiot and we all talk down to him, including the DM.
No. I'm pretty sure I assumed he cannot read.
Ah, well.
He was eating a flesh golem's toe earlier that day.
That's true. Arles, can I have a society check, please?
Yeah, you wish, which check?
Sorry, Arles the Paladin.
Society. Gradry.
Society?
A society check of 7. Lucky 7.
A 7, although a fail is not a critical fail, will tell you at least that the grammar is off. You're not sure what the native language is from the author that wrote this, but you can tell this person doesn't really think in common, and perhaps you can get that identified by someone else later. For instance, for our listeners, French, well, French-Canadian, the grammar seems a little bit backwards to English. You can say, hi, how are you today? And then someone could spout the French. But if you lined up the sentence in French and actually translated each word and read it back in English, it would be like, today, how are you doing? Not, how are you doing today? The grammar seems a little reversed. And this is what I'm saying, like the pattern of the letter, although written in common. So, what's the plan, boys and girls? Are we heading back into town? Was there anything else you wanted to do out here outside the city? Marisol?
I'd like to catch up with my party.
Oh, you were there. You were just in time and everybody was going over there.
Perfect. I'd like to, you know, take a moment to freshen up.
Okay. A lot has changed since we've played. I believe Mr. Witt was a little agitated, shall we say, over the fact that he ran all the way back into town while these guys faced the golem alone and tried to grab a horse and found out that he needed feats and a whole bunch of stuff and could not ride it. His character, Marisol, couldn't ride it.
Lame.
Sorry.
A little bit of salt in that. A little bit of salt.
Couldn't ride it. Tonight we have Jay Tamlin in the room, and before we introduce the character he's playing, I'm going to get him to lawyer up for us. Jay?
You putting him on retainer?
Yeah. What was the correction in the errata for, or something that we botched really bad in the world of writing?
Writing, okay. I think the ruling for it seems to be along the lines of, since you have 3 actions in your turn, right? One of those actions needs to be done, or needs to be calming the animal, so that's your handle animal. Your next action is commanding the animal, and then the animal takes its turn. If you command it, for example, to gallop, it would then take a gallop action, or like start galloping for two of its actions, because animals only get 2 actions, and then you have an action left.
So what does the feat do?
Oh, the feat lets you skip that first handle animal check.
Okay, so it's kind of akin to the old mounted combat where it's like, hey, look, I don't have to take move checks. I can just guide it with my feet and not burn half my movement or half my turn. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
That makes sense. Well, my thought was this, is with these rules, no non-character level NPC... Like, a commoner could never ride a horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did go into this sideways. I mean, we're taking on a lot. I'd read the story more than through the rules. We had Joe to, like, soak up a whole bunch of stuff, and he's coming out of the gaming, off the gaming wagon, and played Mears and everything. But we had such a great time live that we're back, you know, playing again. And we're you know, Jay's been reading up for us. We have Frank Hamilton in the house tonight. Say hello, Frank.
Hey, what's up?
We'll get into their characters soon enough. So, walking without a horse, but confident that you could ride.
Yeah. Right?
What do you guys do with the body?
Eat it. Let's eat it. No. gather it as evidence for, and I don't know, maybe drop it at a temple for proper burial rites or whatever.
You're not going to take it back to the society?
Sure. Just stroll through town with a corpse on our shoulder.
La, da, da, da. A golden mannequin by the look of him.
Oh, it's gold.
Squee is already removing toes, you know. It's piggy bank. This little piggy goes in the piggy bank. He's not gonna need him, he's dead.
No, but seriously.
You guys have nothing left but a head by the time you get back.
Is he gold?
They're made of certain materials. It's not like he's solid gold, but you know he does. They appear to be golden, and you know maybe he's gold plated. You scrape him. It's like, oh damn it!
What is lead underneath. Ah.
Yeah, but well, how about this? I'll give you this for free because it's been so long. Our sorceress, who's still with us in spirit, suggests that we cover it up. Throw a cloak over and, you know, make it a big suspicious bundle as opposed to just carting a dead dude, Shopti, you know, over our shoulders.
It's probably a good idea, yeah. Town.
Okay. But where do you wish to go? Back to the lodge for dinner and report? To trace down that merchant seal? Ask around and see who can identify the seal and track down the shop for more evidence gathering? Or perhaps we'd like to show this letter that was found on the body around and try to.
Well, I vote that we take the evidence back, because maybe they've got resources that we can tap into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seems like like a sufficient bit of evidence gathering.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So back to the lodge.
I believe our work in recovering the evidence here.
That's my vote, anyways. Anybody else got a voice to throw?
Go. We should regather at the lodge and consult with our fellows.
Squee agrees with man meat.
Joe would say. Ashley's like, yeah. I mean, Source is like, yeah. I got a hot date with that sergeant. Yeah, off we go. Can't be delayed. So heading back to the Nexus House, and we find Sebnet Saskaroth, the gnome, played by Selma Hammock, poring over the book in a dining hall with two gentlemen you don't recognize. She is sort of acting as diplomat, and you can see that she sort of regrets bringing these two gentlemen together to debate the importance of said book. And as you walk in, dragging said body or leaving it with the guard kind of thing, and, you know, track her down, and they tell you where she's in her offices next to the dining hall.
Gentlemen, please. I understand that you both have very strong viewpoints. Religiously,
pointing at one old Kelishite looking man,
and in your knowledge of the arcane,
gesturing to a younger man who looks more like a warrior than any kind of sage or wizard, also has the dusky skin of a gentleman who could call Katapesh home, but a splash of stark white hair on the front. And the two men are arguing a point. Now, remember we talked about anything next left behind written down, there is a bunch of fanatics that think this is, you know, gold, as it were, worth its weight in gold, and think there's hidden meetings, right? The book in front of them that they're examining is a list of items and things for, like, building golems or whatever. It seems like a mundane thing. And, of course, if the cult got their hands on it, they would rip it apart and argue, you know, the higher meaning that was hidden in Nexus text to run its country. It is very obvious that these two professionals are neither of said cult. She's gone to an outside source, like an objective eye, to help her glean information. Because when you guys left, she said she would pore over the book. Obviously, she got so far, maybe called in some experts that are related to the society. Anyway, she sees you and comes over. In the background, the two gentlemen continue to argue.
We've returned from our errands, ma'am.
She comes bouncing over.
Ah, Pathfinders! I am so glad to see you!
You know, the gentlemen are take notice that they're no longer in the room and continue the discussion in harsh tones, but a little bit more hushed.
Come, please. Report. Tell me, you know, what you have learned. You know, did you manage to recover the body?
She's like looking over your shoulder, expecting somebody to be carrying it, but you guys have like left it left it at the front. You know. Anyway, she seems very glad for the distraction to get away from those two in the book, where she seems to be getting nowhere.
Indeed, we recovered the sin-filled body from the boot of a golem.
An eyebrow goes skyrocketing high.
Sin-filled? Oh my. Well, do you know, it is almost time for dinner. I suggest...
And she kind of like turns sideways to get the other two gentlemen's attention.
Some introductions, and then we can eat, you know? So, may I first present Arif Al-Basif, priest and sage of Pharasma, and personal friend of the Jeweled Sage himself. And, of course, Abdima, a freelance wizard of some renown and scholarly pursuits in the area that we managed to dig up last minute.
She says, like, nudge, nudge, you know, best we could do, pressed for time.
Gentlemen.
And she, she goes around the room, introducing each of you in turn.
Arles, the Paladin of Amode, Marisil, Pathfinder Society ally, and friends.
Please, please.
And she, you know, ushers you guys off to this dinner. We sit down, we have a meal. The two men still continue debate a little bit, and Sebnet tries to keep the matter more on, you know, the task at hand, and is very interested to hear, as you guys are munching away on your second, third course meal, about what you found out. Turning to the original adventuring party.
Please, please, tell me, what did you find at his alchemy lab? Was that a good lead?
Yes, it, we found many, potential leads. Yes, the lab was very fruitful in our investigation. We found the guardian, a flesh golem, heavily wounded, and very aggressive upon our arrival. Also, Marisil also found some evidence of an intrusion. Marisil?
And we found fruit! Little Squee holds up, you know, an apple core.
So, reaching into my cloak, I pull out a bundle of cloth with the fragments of the device that I found near the doorway.
Oh.
Present them.
Oh, the metal
my lady
bomb
fragments? Sebnet.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
I found evidence. And I'll regale her with with the fruits of our investigation.
Okay. The sorceress also backs you up with her arcane knowledge of, like, the bomb and you know, how everything was disarray, and she tried to tidy it up, but, you know, much less.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Starts cleaning.
So, any evidence possibly pointing towards a guilty party? No? She asks.
There was no calling card or name or proper identification left in the crime scene that pointed out to a single individual that would be readily available for us to find. Though I'm sure the weight of their sin will seek them out in time, and then by the reek of their evilness, we will be able to easily identify them.
There's a lot of reek in this town, you know.
I have noticed.
It might take some time.
I may have to set up shop here for a while.
And also mention the merchant seal.
Okay, you pass that over.
And the package of components.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Perhaps you have the resources to look further into this.
You know, I recognize the seal, you know. She says, I believe this belongs to Lydia. She has an arcane shop downtown. I can give you directions. You think perhaps this arcane merchant has something to do with it?
We're simply following the evidence we gathered.
Okay. Anything else?
And we found also this letter that we found on the body, right? Yeah. And also this letter that the small green one had found after we had heroically retrieved the body from the boot of the golem.
Oh, I see.
She's like looking it over, crinkling her nose. She says,
The grammar on this is very off. It's almost like polyglot.
You can read it.
It's in common, but the...
Anyway, she points out something grammatically that you know, strictly is used in the other language polyglot. They never use apostrophes, you know, something like that. And some of the grammar also hints at it. But she seems to recognize, with her successful society role, that it leans towards the author having a native language of polyglot.
Polyglot.
Polyglot is the closest polyglot speaking nation would actually be the jungle, the Mwangi Expanse.
Now, as for Lydia,
You know, she pulls out a piece of paper and sketches a map, or, you know, jots down a couple directions, you know, landmarks, shops, things that, you know, down this street, you know, type of thing.
Well, at least you are making some progress,
she says.
Unfortunately, these good gentlemen and I are, shall we say, still in debate if there is really anything of value to be found in the book itself. But we will keep it here for safekeeping.
A messenger comes and whispers in Sebnet's ear and then points at the sorceress.
Oh, my dear, it would seem you have a visitor.
The sorceress, with a very great big cat that ate the canary grin, smiles, excuses herself, says, well, gentlemen, I have some personal matters to attend to, and leaves us. If you really need my services, well, actually, I suppose you don't, she says slyly, pointing out the two very qualified gentlemen. Turns to Sebnet. I assume that your contractors here are also field agent ready, as it were. Smiling. Toodles, and she just, you know, just, this is all walking out, you know. It's like, bye, got a hot date, see ya. And she bails on you guys. The goblin hasn't said a word. He's just filling his face. At the end of the table, you just see the little tiny part of the top of the peak of his dome head and two ears, and just hands coming up and just snatching things from the plate, you know. Nom, 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 nom.
Okay.
Awkwardly, Sebnet kind of looks at you guys like, you know, did you offend the sorceress or whatever? But,
gentlemen, would you not be possibly adhere to the idea of aiding our pathfinders? Their arcane knowledge just seemed to walk out the door.
She turns and inquires of the two gentlemen that she's, you know, been arguing over the book with.
I am always open to helping people that could be potential customers.
Excellent. And you, could we possibly borrow you from the church a while longer?
It's not like he has anything else to do. Just sit there in your chair, read books. He's reading interesting books.
So far, your tale is quite fascinating. Please continue. I'd be more than happy to assist in any way that you feel I'm capable.
Excellent, excellent. Well, gentlemen, let's start over from the beginning and have dessert.
And she claps her hands, and the scene slowly pulls out, and plates are changed, and you guys are brought some lovely pastries and some red wine. And just to catch these two up to speed, she tells you guys everything she did in the initial meeting to catch you up to speed, as well as the adventures that you just heard go by, you know, as we told you, this happened and this happened kind of thing. And an hour later, you guys are outside the door, ready to help the Pathfinder Society solve this intriguing and definitely unique murder. So, to quickly recap, you are in the city of Quantum, a huge trade city. Racism and such, not allowed. They embrace all walks of life. The country we are in is Nex, named after a mega, mega powerful wizard. It's like the type of guy who had students, and those students were Bigby, Mordecai, you know, everybody that went to Hogwarts of importance, that type of thing. Hugely, hugely powerful. Also known for fighting the Lich Lord King Massive Wizard Geb, who owns, the next country over to the south. And in between is a huge, crazy no man's land of battle called the Man of Wastes, where the Alkenstar reside. It's a place, as well as riflemen that actually have guns. But I digress. The Pathfinder Society, because Nex's name and penned this specific book that popped up, they got their hands on it. They found this douchebag of a Shabti. Kafu? Kafo? Always having trouble with these names.
Hachu!
Kafu. I believe it's Kafu. Got his hands on the book and was either trying to sell it or, you know, was unwilling to sell it, and he turned up dead. His personal laboratory and apartment downtown, a shambles, with a barely sane, struggling golem tied up by the guard. We went down there. We got attacked by the golem that freed himself. Amazing actor, by the way. I mean, the guy that plays Bane is just, even that non-speaking part was top-notch. You know, kudos to that. Defeating the golem, We then searched the room and found all sorts of things. Apples, toes, letters, lists, and some deep, nasty claw marks on the golem itself, pointing at possible danger, murder weapon, a scuffle, a scorch mark at the door, like a trap had gone off, and those shards, metallic, sprayed everywhere. The place a shambles, the sorceress desperately trying to fight her OCD and clean the place up. Met some two interesting guards. Then you went outside of town, chased down a colossal-sized golem, and with much fail, success, two critical fails, which turned three successful skill check attempts into five before you could get this body off of this, you know, Nike of a golem, and then examined the bottom, found some interesting items, and a letter stating, does anyone remember?
No.
You do not.
I was like, months
ago.
Well,
for starters, the man's name, the body, is Cafanes. Yes. And that's what I'm sticking with for now. I'm not going to go back and look it up.
It's great.
Thank you, Cafanes. Perfect. Cafanes the Shapti was very smart and dealt very fairly in everything, but was also known to be a bit of a, you know, piece of work. Quite literally. Well, you know, technically his body is a work of art. Anyway, the letter talks about they would be willing to be at an upcoming event hosted by the Merchants League and make some sort of trade with him there. Now, the letter itself was somewhat damaged and the signature was missing, but thanks to our venture captain has picked up that whoever wrote this is possibly thinks in polyglot, speaks polyglot, and could be from the Mwangi Expanse. I mean, it's close by, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Somebody needs to show us the way.
Do you know the way?
Now, we'll get to those future characters Matt plays. You had your chance to make a second edition of this up-and-coming awesome character that he's pitched to us before, but no, we had to go with the pre-gen because we needed a rogue. So, the Merchant League, Septi, tells you, if you want to go investigate it, she can get you invites. So, we also
Sweet.
Have...
I'll take an invite to the Merchants yeah. League.
That's a party that's happening later tonight.
Network.
In the meantime, we have Lydia Seal, an actual merchant, and a shop downtown to check out, if you wish.
Yeah, let's do that in the meantime.
Squee refuses to leave the room, says he's not done dinner, and will catch up with you later.
Mara Seal is elated by the fact that she won't have to deal with his stench for the next little while.
Okay.
She's not racist, they just stink.
No. Well, Venture Captain Sanskaroth, she's not, you know, overly thrilled that she's left with the little goblin, but, you know, she did offer dinner, and he's like, you know, keep it coming, bad meat, let's go. You know, just, you said dinner, and I'm not done, you know, okay. So, with the Sorceress AWOL, with one guy holding down the fort with Sanskaroth, and her offering up these two contractors, one of arcane ilk, one of divine ilk, but both supposedly have some scholarly knowledge to aid you in the sorcerer's absence. Our rogue, our paladin, a cleric, and a self-proclaimed, he is really good shape for a wizard. I gotta say, you know, the guy's pretty buff for a wizard. Someone who claims to be a wizard.
Protein. Keep the body in shape, the mind will follow. Keep the mind in shape, the body will follow. He's natural.
Right on. So, I believe that covers five episodes of what we missed.
Okay.
Gentlemen, where do you want to go?
Well,
let's go to the shop. Oh, baby.
Nice, yes. I believe we found some evidence that was pointing us in the direction of a certain merchant here in Nex. Perhaps we should start our inquiries there.
Yep. A merchant named Lydia. Our directions lead us downtown. Have you ever been to a city and a friend? Oh yeah, it's right here. Blah, blah, go to the quarter fifth of Main, blah, 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 blah. And you're looking around and you're looking around and you know what I mean? It's like they said it was right here, but you cannot see it. What the hell? What do you guys do? Her directions like bring you to a place, but there's all kinds of merchants and shops and this and that. And it's like nothing, you know, nothing really jumps out at you.
Excuse me, good sir.
Well, hey there!
How fare thee this evening?
What? Oh, you want to turn that armor down? You're a little shiny.
The light of the inheritor is not a light that shall ever be dimmed.
No. Fine job, I heard about the golem. Yeah.
Anyway, he makes a face and leans in, out of uniform, and now in civilian clothes with a stupid skull cap with the leather pieces that hang down over his ears. It's our old friend. No, we fashioned him Eab. Eab?
Yep.
E-I-A-B.
It's pronounced Bob.
And do you guys remember who plays him, supposed to be?
Oh, right, yeah.
Gomer Pyle? Don Knotts? Exactly. Well, inspired by, let's put it that way. I didn't do a great job of him. So yeah, it's Eab. You guys recognize him. Yeah, I heard about the golem.
Yes. I'm sure the city is more well than happy to have the guards as opposed to the golems. They don't hit as strong as you would suspect.
Hmm. So, what are you doing downtown? You still looking for leads? And he says, I might be able to help you.
Yes, we're actually looking for a merchant who has a shop in this area. She goes by the name of Lydia.
Lydia, let me think. How about we both make a diplomacy check or to gather information, you know? No, pretty sure the module's asking for gather information. I'll aid you. Hey, excuse me. And he just starts wandering around pestering crowd members. Yeah. I need a plus two for the
gather
paladin
information.
Here.
It goes under diplomacy.
Yeah. Diplomacy gives you a gather info. Anyway, so he wanders off and, like, you know, helps you address the civilians that you're not used to talking to in their language or whatever, and gives you a plus two to your roll.
Excellent.
He helps it.
Why is there an arrow pointing down by my 9?
Because you're, you rolled a 1, yes.
Because you got a natural 1.
Oh. Boom.
That would be a skill check fail.
Womp womp.
Okay. So people just quickly shake their head and walk away from our foreign...
Marisil notices that he's actually giving the wrong name. and kind of butts in.
But I mean, we now have more room to look.
Excuse me, Arles. What did you call her? Linda? No, it's Lydia. It's Lydia.
Linda.
I'm sure it's Lydia.
Every time Eab says it starts changing. Has anyone heard of Linda? Linda the merchant? You there.
You know. Lilac
the merchant. We're looking for Lilac the merchant, you know.
Surely this can't be a merchant of much repute if he's not this popular.